Welcome to my podcast. This is your host, Ray Lloyd, and this is All the Things. So, apparently I took a little break from July until now when I'm recording this in January, but it used to be that I was very focused on recording an episode a week and getting it out there, and things shifted and changed and people evolve, and my current self really feels like I like having this platform and the ability to help people or educate people on different topics that I'm currently in the moment passionate about. Of course, there are episodes that I have on here that I no longer even agree with myself. So that's why I say what I'm currently passionate about, because that changes day to day, week to week, month to month, but definitely year to year. So if you've been here since the beginning and have seen me evolve, then I'm sure this topic will come at no surprise. And of course, you know, I have taken a lot of time to absorb the information, watch what is going on, and then to conclude with having the opinion that I currently hold. And of course, our opinions are always subject to change, and that is totally fine. But this is where I currently stand on this, and I felt compelled to record a podcast now about this topic, which is the craze of Ozempic and the obsession with Ozempic, so to speak. And I am going to give you some plain cold hard facts, and then I will sprinkle in my personal opinion. However, I want to make it very clear, even before you start to listen, that like before we dive into this in depth, I am not here to sway you one way or another, and I'm definitely not here to scare you in the slightest. This is not a talk against Ozempic, not even a little bit. I am just simply here to explain my opinion on a nuance that I find people have when they talk about whether they're doing it or not, sharing it or not, right? Now, of course, your personal medical decisions are your private choice, and you don't ever have to share that you decided to do this. If you never decide to share and people come to their own conclusions, that is their prerogative and that's their choice, and you do not have to share anything. I am really focusing on the people who lie and stand up and say, oh, I just, you know, walked more and ate less, or oh, I just started working out, or oh, I just did, you know, whatever fad diet at the time, and conveniently leaving out the fact that, oh, P.S., they were also injecting themselves weekly. That's where my problem lies. I don't have a single issue if you've decided to take this path with your health, the same way that I don't have an issue if people decide to do, you know, gastric bypass. Like, I'm sure that you are an adult and grown up enough to make your own decisions, to weigh out the pros and cons, and to understand that anything that you do physically has to be followed by the mental side of things, which, P.S., is not convincing yourself and not just using self-control and all the lies that the diet industry wants you to believe, because then they can keep you forever because no one can actually use self-control. This all boils back down to the nervous system. And if you scroll back a little bit, I recorded 4 episodes about the nervous system, one of them being solely focused on how your nervous system being dysregulated and the trauma that you went through can affect your eating habits and your weight and all of that. And so please understand that no matter what modality you use, it has to be paired not with behavior change, like they want to convince you, and not with reading enough, or not with convincing yourself this is what you want, because all you're doing is actually subjugating yourself to eating disorder habits and behaviors. Really what it is understanding that if you regulate your nervous system, your body's natural aptitude for what it will do and the habits that you will then create through repetition, and like the way that you will settle into yourself when you are not in a heightened state of fight or flight, is actually going to be normal portions and naturally stopping to eat when you're full and naturally taking good care of yourself. That is what happens when you regulate your nervous system to the point where it is okay to eat a cookie. There's not going to be any heightened response to that because you are regulated. It's the diet industry, this sick obsession with being skinny, this eating disorder
perpetration that has been going on for literally years since Hollywood decided this is what the perfect body looks like and how it's really unachievable without extreme measures and plastic surgery and doing things like Ozempic. And that's actually what's perpetrating your issues. It's this obsession with never fully being who you really need to be until you are as skinny as possible and doing lots of extreme things to get there. If you do things that may seem extreme to some, right? No judgment here, but you pair it with nervous system regulation and true healing, you'll actually keep your weight off. But you could do literally anything in the whole world. Ozempic, diet plans, fasting, gastric bypass even, and you will gain your weight back, or you'll struggle and live in a yucky place to be in your body if you don't regulate your nervous system. So this is not a plug for any method. This is not, oh, do it this way. I don't care how you do it or don't do it. Maybe this will come to the conclusion that you are going to actually love your body the way you are, right? But if you are at true health risk and you're living with high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes or whatever the other things that may come along with you being at a place that might not be ideal for your body. And I'm not talking about skinny. I'm just talking about where your body needs to be based on your height and age and all that. Then maybe you are considering Ozempic, right? And I just want to encourage you to do that with nervous system regulation, which PS, your doctor's never going to talk about. Never, ever, ever. Because they don't know it. They don't care. And if they actually help you heal, then you never come back. So this is on you. This is something you're going to have to do on your own and research on your own and find someone to help you with or go to the proper therapy or whatever the case is. And then you'll actually keep it off. And then it won't really matter what method you use. Some will go quicker. Some will take slower. That won't matter. It's really the long term. How are you living? And because I will tell you this, if you are sick in the sense of your nervous system being dysregulated and you never having healed your trauma, then you could get as skinny as a rail and you still won't be happy, and you'll still be suffering with body dysmorphia, and you'll still be suffering with eating disorder type behaviors, and you will be miserable. So the only way that you're going to heal, no matter if you're up 20 pounds or down 30 pounds or wherever the case is, one day you're going to have to accept yourself. And hopefully you'll do that before it's too late. So this is not a plug to be skinny, in the quite opposite. I want you to just feel comfortable with who you are. But being that Ozempic is the craze right now, being that Ozempic is the cool end thing to do and be, I want to talk about it. And again, this is not a don't do it and be scared. I'm not here to sway you one way or another. You'll see as I finish up this episode, really the direction that I think is an important way and view to look at this. So let me pause for a moment to remind you that I am not a doctor. I'm not a medical provider. I'm not a naturopathic provider. I'm not a therapist. I'm none of that. Nothing that I'm about to say is medical advice. This is all information that you yourself can gather from either doctors or Google or online support groups or providers or anything like that. So this is all information that's readily available to you. And I'm just going to help you see it through the lens that I see it in. That's it. So none of this is medical advice. None of this is emotional therapy advice. I'm just a girl with an autoimmune disease who thirsts for having a vast amount of knowledge and then shapes it through the lens that I see the world. That's it. Okay. So I'm sure you've all heard about Ozempic. I'm sure you hear the whispers of, oh my God, did they do Ozempic? I'm sure you've seen people just pop up suddenly 50 pounds later and you're like, what in the world are they doing? Maybe you want that, or maybe you're just interested and curious, right? So some of you may already know, some of you may not. I'm going to try to break this down in as simple a way to understand it as possible. But Ozempic is what is called a GLP-1 agonist, which stands for glucagon-like peptide 1. And this is an injectable, I'm going to call it a medication. There are people out there that are going to call it a peptide, and I'm going to explain why they do that and why I think it's just inconsistent with what a peptide really is used for, and how one is really being doctored and celebrated by the medical community, and the other one is really being used by the more natural community, and how I think it is slightly lying to tell people, oh, I just did peptides, when really you did Ozempic, well, or Wegovy or Mounjaro, but we'll get into that. So that's really my focus on this, is just being a truthful person, not being a person who lies if you are one who's talking about it. Remember the beginning of this, I said, if you're not talking about it, you don't owe anyone anything. But if you're going to stand up there and say, hey, I just worked out more or ran 6 miles a day or whatever the case is, and oh yeah, PS, I did peptides, that's lying to people, because you're kind of leaving you're lying by omission. You're not really being a liar, but you're not saying which peptide it was. And we all know, and just using the overall arching umbrella word of peptide is just misleading. That's my opinion. So Ozempic was approved in 2017. So keep in mind, it hasn't been around that long to have, you know, 50 years of knowledge of what is the long-term effects of this, right? But it was approved to be used by type 2 diabetics, not for weight loss in the beginning. So it's basically a weekly injection that helps lower blood sugar by helping the pancreas make more insulin. Insulin is the hormone responsible for regulating blood sugar, right? It helps take the sugar from your bloodstream, from something that you ate, and then moves it over to your cells where the sugar can then be used for energy, okay? And it works by mimicking a naturally occurring hormone within you called GLP-1. And as those hormone levels rise by you injecting it once a week, right? As those hormones level rise, the molecules, there's a few different ways that this works, right? So one of them is by regulating blood sugar, but also the molecules of this hormone go to your brain and tell your brain that you are full, right? So that's cool, right? People are talking about how it helps stop that hunger, like that constant hunger voice inside of you. I want to pause and say that, you know, a lot of us are walking around with eating disorder like behaviors based on not only how terrible our food is, right? The processed sugars and the, you know, seed oils and high inflammation that's caused, and just the processed way that they process our foods and the antibiotics that's in our meats and the food coloring that's in our candy and all this stuff. Like, this is not how people ate back in the day. Back in the day, you had to run and you had to catch your food and then you had to cook it and then you didn't have extras. There wasn't, you know, like, was that ideal? No. Obviously, we like living like this better, but having so much in the fridge that's so processed is obviously causing issues, which then causes eating disorder like behaviors, which then causes an obsession with food. And then we're all walking around with trauma and dysregulated nervous systems, and your body's going to turn to food to help regulate you. And it's just this never ending cycle. And so a lot of people talk about like this constant food voice in their, in their brain. And they say that the GLP-1 helps. I'm not talking about people using it for diabetes right now. It does do this as well, but people who are using it for weight loss, it kind of quiets that voice. And people are saying it's very nice to not have that voice because they feel full. You know, emotionally, it's been very nice in terms of their healing, in terms of it being easier. Like when they're dieting, it's still there. It's like you're constantly fighting against yourself, and to kind of quiet that voice is very soothing, which I can recognize and understand, right? The other thing that it does is it actually keeps you feeling fuller physically. So the food sits in your stomach longer before going into your small intestine, which is delayed gastric emptying. Okay. So, right, your food goes down into your stomach, which is where it gets digested first. And then it moves to your small intestine, where all of the nutrients are pulled from the food and brought into your bloodstream, which then moves into your large intestine and is broken down into your colon. And then you poop it out, right? That's how your GI system works. So it sits in your stomach longer. Now, my worry with this, and I haven't seen that much information on it. There's a lot of doctors who are out there pushing this agenda, right? Because they're making a lot of money on it. And I'm not saying this is wrong or not wrong. It's just my own personal take on this is what happens with your medications, right? So if you're on thyroid medication and you're taking this, does it not get into your system fast enough if it's being delayed, right? Because I have seen many reports of people saying that when they were on Ozempic, their birth control didn't get into their system and they got pregnant. So I'm curious, how does that work with psych meds? How does that work with blood pressure meds? How does that work with heart meds? Like, I haven't seen enough information. As I was doing research for this, I actually called a pharmacy and I said, hey, you know, if this delays gastric emptying, what do you do for medications? And they didn't have an answer. They're like, well, it gets in there. I mean, yes, eventually, but like hours later, you know? So very, very interesting. I don't have an answer on that. It's just a question that I have had about this medication. So Ozempic was started out as a type 2 diabetes drug, and it's given in very low doses, but the doctors were noticing that people were losing weight on it. And so then that is when they started going into it with higher doses to see how it would help with weight loss. And that is when in 2021, so again, much more recently, we're talking 3 years ago, the FDA approved a medication that is a GLP-1 agonist to be used as a weekly injection for weight loss, and that is called Wegovy. Okay, so people who are taking this for weight loss are generally taking Wegovy, Mounjaro, which can also be called tirzepatide. There's different names for it, but these are like the main classes, right? So you have Ozempic, which is not covered by insurance for people who are wanting to lose weight. Wegovy is. Ozempic is being used for type 2 diabetics in lower doses. So Wegovy was approved to start out at 0.25 milligrams and then increase over time up to 0.5, 1 milligram, 1.7 milligrams, and then ending at 2.4 milligrams and using that until you get to goal weight. And that is injected. If you are getting it through the pharmacy, like not a compounding pharmacy, like regular doctors are prescribing it, you know, it's being covered by insurance because you're, you know, at an obesity rate that is they're allowing it. It comes in a pre-filled little like needle thing that you never really see the needle, and you know, put it in, has to be injected into the muscle, so thigh, stomach area, and you like push it down and it clicks, the medication goes in, and then once it unclicks, you take it out. I don't know if it hurts or not. I've never taken it. So this is all from just like research and watching videos of people taking it. I have someone who's very close to me who's taking it. So, you know, I've been getting reports that it doesn't really hurt and it's a small enough needle and you never have to really see it. Now, people who are taking it compounded, right? So it's coming from a compounding pharmacy. That's where people are just paying for it out of pocket. People who just want to lose a little bit, more like that quote unquote vanity weight. And that's more like the naturopathic doctors are giving it. And I have a gripe with the naturopathic world in general. And hopefully I'll remember to talk about that at the end of this, but this is just where they're getting it, right? It's being compounded. So it's not on brand, so to speak. They're making it themselves in the pharmacy. People are very angry about that because they're saying it's, you know, less controlled and the FDA can't control it and blah, blah, blah. I happen to love compounding pharmacies because I get my thyroid meds made in a compound pharmacy. So, you know, pay for it out of pocket, of course, because it's never covered by insurance, but such is life when you are healing on your own and using more natural functional medicine routes to deal with whatever health issues you have. So those people, it comes in a little vial and you have to draw it up yourself in a small, like insulin-like needle, and you inject it yourself. So a little bit different, but you know, same end result. So then there's also one called Mounjaro, which is tirzepatide also, which is GLP-1 and GLP-2 agonist, so slightly different than Wegovy. And that starts at 2.5 milligrams, then increases to 5, increases to 7.5, increases to 10, then 12.5, and ends at a 15 milligram dose. So just a different dosing rate than Wegovy. Now, people are seeing great results, right? I'm sure you know someone who's been on it and they're losing and all that. And this is where I'm going to literally read off the list of things that were on Google. So this is not fear mongering, nothing. This is stuff that your doctor's going to tell you. It's going to come in the, you know, paper inside your medication. This is online, readily available information. And I'm sure you know it already, but I'm going to read it to you because this medication doesn't come without side effects. And especially in these large doses. And it's like, okay, if this is for vanity weight, how bad do you want it? If this is to save your life because obesity just got too much and it's ruining everything in terms of your health, I hear it. I hear it for short-term usage. I hear it, you know, till you get to goal and then you got to regulate your nervous system and figure out how you're going to keep it off. But for vanity weight to lose 10 pounds type of thing, listen, I'm not saying you shouldn't want to lose it. You can. We're going to talk about that again, you know, soon at the end of this as well. But all I'm saying is that this pursuit for perfection, you're going to sit here and you have to weigh out the risks of the pros and cons, right? So this is the warning labels, right? There's a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. And there's a doctor who is on TikTok and talks about this a lot. And he gets very, very defensive. Obviously, he has a whole practice that is focused solely on giving people Wegovy and Mounjaro. And he is really into saying like, if you didn't have a specific type of thyroid cancer in your family, then it's fine. And it's just in rats, it's just in mice and da, 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 da. And fine, that all may very well be true, but I have a instantaneous distrust of Big Pharma and the doctors that are being led by Big Pharma. And so it makes me wonder, like, if it's only been around being approved since 2021, yes, it's been used before that, but like, how do you know? Are you sure? Because, you know, we all know that these are people who also want you to get yourself injected with vaccines. And they also will just jump straight to, you know, medication versus behavior change and lifestyle changes. And they're also really into psych meds. And they're also really like, there's so many things that these doctors are approving of and backing that it makes me question everything they say. Does that make sense? Now, it may be true, but it makes me wonder. That's all. Now, it also can cause pancreatitis, hypoglycemia, acute kidney injury, gastrointestinal disease, diabetic retinopathy complications, acute gallbladder disease, suicidal thoughts, and then, of course, nausea, vomiting, diarrhea, constipation, stomach paralysis. It's just like, some people say, I've spoken to a bunch of people while I was doing research for this, because I've never done it myself, so I don't, like, I've never, you know, taken Ozempic, in terms of, I've never been type 2 diabetic, like, I just don't have the experience with it, like that, using it long term and taking big doses, you know, and, I wanted to do research of people who had taken it, and I know people who are on it having zero symptoms, and I know people who are on it who were deathly ill. So it's interesting. I don't know what's causing one or the other. Do they already have GI issues? I wonder, you know? But people are also saying, oh, it healed their GI issues. So it's really not consistent. And I find that to be alarming, being that it's so inconsistent. You just don't know what to expect. So then someone said that she was so nauseous and throwing up all the time that she was getting dehydrated. So the doctors put her on Zofran. And I'm like, oh my God, like one after the other. So now your stomach is really paralyzed because Zofran is just, it's a mess all on its own, you know? And then of course, you know, there's what people are calling Ozempic face, which is you're losing weight so quickly in such a specific manner that it's causing facial sagging. Like you're literally like, you start to look old. Like I know a few people who are on it and they just, it's not attractive anymore. Like how thin are you going to get until you realize that like you have a problem and this is eating disorder behavior, you know? Like I'm not talking about saving yourself from diabetes and living a life at a healthy place. I'm talking about getting to be so thin that it's an obsession and it's gone too far. Do you know what I mean? So the reports are saying that patients taking Wegovy or Mounjaro lost an average of 35 pounds or 15% of their body weight. Now, obviously there's people who are way above that and it saved their life and they're so happy. And I would never discount that. I would never tell them that it's not true. I would never say, oh, they're not losing more. You know, this was just the average that was online. But I know lots of people who have lost lots more than that. And, you know, that's great. And hopefully they can pair it with nervous system regulation and behavior change and actually having a healthy relationship with food where it's okay to eat a cookie and not freak out. And you're not saying things like you have to eat prepackaged meals from, you know, these chefs that will cook you all your food beforehand. Because if you ever cook yourself, you're you know, kind of almost threatened by it. And it's too much of a, what is the word I'm looking for? Like, it's too much of a struggle to cook your own food. So they have like meals delivered to them of like, you know, chicken and potatoes or whatever, you know, like the very expensive, these like chefs that will cook for you. So it's like, if you can't ever go into your kitchen and cook again, like what have you exactly achieved? So you're happy because you have a thigh gap now? Like, I don't understand this obsession that it's worth never being happy, being able to eat. Because food is supposed to give you joy. And I never said that you're supposed to be binging an entire pan of lasagna. It doesn't have to be one extreme to the other extreme. I'm just saying that both extremes are unhealthy and both extremes don't look happy and both extremes look uncomfortable. You know, I'd rather have a little meat on my thighs and enjoy myself. Do you know what I mean? And also still be healthy. Sure. Yeah. Eat lots of salads and take my vitamins, and I love eating protein, and I drink my water, but I'm also going to Mexico soon, and I'm definitely going to have drinks, and I'm definitely going to eat the french fries, you know, like, it's just, like, it's a struggle that I am now able to see as a struggle, you know. I've been through the gamut, I've run this race, and I look at people now, and I'm like, wow, you're not free, you just have a hot body, and that's it. And it's not even that hot because it's getting too thin, you know, like, it's just like, what happened to a society that just lets people live and exist and not have to constantly be something? I understand the struggles. It's in my head too. You know, we all get it. I'm not sitting here up on my high horse saying, oh, this is how you fix it. No, I'm just saying from my perspective now, in a more healed place than I was before, I can see people's obsession with talking about how much they weigh and how much they lost and what their body fat percentage is and what do they look like and working out and getting up at 3 a.m. and making their greens or whatever the case is. Like, you're obsessed and you think it's making you happy, but you can't ever just exist. You can't ever just be. You know, it's this constant pursuit of perfection, which is insanity. It's absolute insanity. And you're just feeding into Hollywood. And then, you know, I was watching these TikToks where they said 2024, we're no longer into clean girl aesthetic, which is like a slick back bun and light pink nails and clean glowy makeup, right? 2024, we're all going for mafia mob wife aesthetic, which is like fur coats and red lips and just being extra for no reason and bouncy hair and smudgy eyeliner. And, you know, and it's like this another girl like stitched the video and she's like, can we stop? Like, can everyone just have their own aesthetic? And can we stop assuming that everyone's able to just like switch up their look and buy new makeup and new clothes and this constant change? And that's consumerism. That's Hollywood. That's America for you. That's, you know, if you ever just leave people be, then you stop making money and you can't ever do that. So first you have to have the Kim Kardashian ass. And then when Kim Kardashian no longer wants the Kim Kardashian ass and she does Ozempic and loses a bunch of weight and then does a bunch of lipo, now you have to be really, really thin. And how are you supposed to do that? You can't ever keep up. You will never win. It's a constant failing battle from the very start. And how depressing is that? How dysregulating is that? You can't ever heal your nervous system if you're in a constant pursuit of perfection because it's impossible to achieve. So I digress. But a 2022 study found that most people gain their weight back within a year of going off of the medication. And this doctor who is really into, you know, I was talking about earlier, who's really into this and prescribing it and talking about it and has been in multiple articles about it, said, well, you know, obesity is a disease and you have to stay on medication for the rest of your life. Like, I'm on thyroid medication for the rest of my life. There's no shame in that. And I hear him. I do. But also, do you want to be on it for the rest of your life? Do you want to be dealing with the side effects and the possibilities of stomach paralysis? Like, wouldn't it be nice to lose the weight and then figure out how to get off? And the only way to do that is to regulate your nervous system, but they're never going to talk about that. They never talk about healing your trauma. They never talk about how your emotions affect your body. They never talk about where these eating disorder like behaviors develop from. They never even admit that it's an eating disorder to want to be as thin as possible. Like, the only time they'll ever say that is like, oh, if it's like full-on anorexia, but having majorly disordered eating because you can't eat because you're constantly nauseous, that they don't talk about, you know. And I find it to be hypocritical. That's all. I have so much empathy for those of you that are dealing with this. I really, really do. And if you're on this medication and you are healing your nervous system, I do not judge you for taking this in the slightest. I have a friend who just got the gastric bypass done and I wish them like so much luck in the world. And I hope they pair it with nervous system regulation, because if your stomach is smaller, but you're still sick up in your head with food and your relationship with food and healing soothing with food, then you are going to struggle living in your body now because you physically can't eat it, but you want to. I had a girl one time tell me that she had the gastric bypass done, but she was still so sick that she would take an Oreo and let it dissolve into milk and drink that instead of eating like her proteins and vegetables and having one cookie, you know, because that's all she could eat. And she's like, it was sad and horrible. And I can't believe I ever did that, you know? And listen, I don't think it's sad and horrible in the sense of we all have our struggles. And the sooner we admit that it's a struggle, the sooner we can all heal. But just know that Hollywood and Big Pharma and the doctors and the medical world and Western medicine, they're all going to fight against you. So you're going to have to do it alone. That's it. Or you find your community, you know? But the point is that it can be very useful and helpful. And I'm sure a lot of you have lots of good things to say about that. And I don't deny it for a second. The other side, though, is this is where my main point is, right? Now you have all the facts of what it is. If you want to use it, please use it. Just do it appropriately and do it with help and do it with emotional regulation, right? But here's my thing. If you're going to stand up there and say, oh yeah, I got so skinny because I, you know, took apple cider vinegar shots every morning, like, you know, not shots like injections, but shots like, you know, like shots, right? Yeah, vodka shots, yeah, like that. So, and like I walked more and oh, and P.S. and people find out that you're calling it that, oh, I did peptides. This is where I find the manipulation of information is. This is where, again, you don't have to tell anyone that you're doing anything. It's just that when you go up there and you are either benefiting from people thinking that you lost weight, or you are, you know, offering some sort of course about how to lose weight, but then you don't tell people that the way you actually did it. It's like a bodybuilder teaching you how to bodybuild, but never telling you that they took steroids. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's where I find the misleading manipulation and the, you know, deciding what part of the story you want to tell by saying, oh, I just did peptides, right? So technically, Ozempic is a peptide. And I'll explain what peptides are, but I find it to be misleading because it's much more of a medicine than it is a peptide. So I'm sure you've heard the word peptide, right? There's lots of skincare now that contains peptides, and it's a word that is thrown around a lot. And let me explain what they are. So peptides is a short string of 2 to 50 amino acids formed by a condensation reaction, joining together by a covalent bond. And the sequential covalent bonds with additional amino acids then yields a peptide chain and the building blocks of protein. So as we age, and this is something that's naturally found within our body, right? And so as we age, our natural peptide levels start to decrease. And peptide therapy is a revolutionary approach to combat this decline, which offers many potential health benefits. And this is very, very popular in the naturopathic world, much less popular in the Western medicine world, because it's not covered by insurance. It's not something that the FDA can regulate, which they are trying to, and it's very disturbing, but I'll talk about that in a second. So let me just give you some ideas. There's hundreds of peptide options. You can get them from your naturopathic doctor. There's places that actually sell it online. There's compounding pharmacies that make it. So it's very, very popular in the naturopathic world. I've heard about peptides way before I ever heard of Ozempic, because I've been working with naturopathic and functional medicine doctors to heal my Hashimoto's since 2018. So just for example, like I've actually taken something called BPC 157, which actually came in oral form. It's a pill that you take because I was working with a functional medicine doctor in the city, and I have had like bouts of SIBO and definitely have leaky gut, right? I've talked about that in previous podcast episodes about how leaky gut is a precursor to developing an autoimmune disease. And I have like a lot of gut issues, and they have almost fully gone away. I did 2 rounds of BPC 157 when I was healing the SIBO. And that's like I want to say it's a 30-day supply. Like you just take the pill once a day, and it's a peptide, right? People also use it for muscle and joint healing, like recovery. So like I know a guy who takes it, he works out a lot, and he had like hurt himself, and he was taking it, and he noticed that he uses it, you know, after working out. So it has multiple benefits. There's also something called DSIP, which helps improve sleep. There's something called PT141, which can help libido. There's something called GHK-CO, which combats aging. Sermorelin is used for like boosting performance overall. Another one that I personally took was Ipamorelin, which helps like overall healing and inflammation from autoimmunity. It has lots and lots of benefits, so there are lots of different things that it can do, but I personally was taking it for inflammation for autoimmunity because of my Hashimoto's. So that one was a injection one, and my doctor had given it to me. I want to say I started taking it in 2021, and I took it for probably 5 to 6 months. I don't take it anymore, but I did, and it definitely helped with inflammation. My antibody numbers went down. Like it just did a lot of really great things, right? They're very expensive. Very, very expensive. They come in the mail, you know, when you get them from a compounding pharmacy. Like I said, my doctor was in the city, so he would have a pharmacy in Westchester send it, and it comes on ice, and you have to keep it in the fridge. And this one I had to inject every day. There was a different one that I was only injecting twice a week. And like, there's just different ones. I don't take those ones anymore. Right now, I inject B12 and vitamin D, because I find that if I circumvent my gut, I'm actually absorbing things better. So it's been helping with getting my vitamin D up, but you know, so I'm not afraid of needles at all, but it can be very challenging if you are afraid of injecting yourself. You know, this is pretty much injectable only. There are a few that you can like sniff up your nose and stuff like that, but it's a very fascinating thing. And it can help a lot with healing. So for example, peptides can lower high blood pressure. They can improve your immune system function. They can reduce inflammation. They can strengthen the skin barrier. They have some that like heal burns. That's a cream form, of course. It can prevent blood clots. It can also function as an antioxidant. And peptides can play a very important role in cellular communication as well. So, you know, like I said, I took some for a while. a couple of years ago. They, and like I said, they're very expensive. But here's the thing. They have no side effects, none whatsoever. Never had a single side effect. You only see benefits. And in this year, 2023 in October, the FDA went on like this whole thing where they went and tried to ban 17 different peptide treatments. And like there was a whole tizzy in the naturopathic world of them, trying to manipulate this thing, which is not covered by insurance and is not, something that really they should be involved in, and they were getting themselves involved and banning these peptides that are very, very helpful for healing people so that they can stop being a patient. Do you understand? Like, these are things that like stop you from going to the doctor because you're actually better, which is where my spidey senses go up. And I'm like, okay, if the FDA is approving Ozempic, Wegovy, Mounjaro, and all the doctors are pushing, all the medical doctors are pushing it, and you're calling it a peptide, it might be that. In all sense and purposes, but in my mind, there's a manipulation to it, and it's much more of a medical medicine than it is a peptide that is being used for, enhancing your sleep or healing your skin or healing inflammation, which then helps you stop being a patient, stop going, stop being a consumer of big pharma, where Ozempic continues to have you be a consumer of big pharma. And that's where I'm like, they're banning one and they're pushing and promoting the other. And so in my mind, I conclude, in my opinion, non-medical opinion, just my own, like looking at things from the outside, they're not the same. And so don't lie to people and say, oh, I'm just doing peptides. Just say the freaking truth. If you did Wegovy or Mounjaro or Ozempic, then just say it if you're someone who's talking about it. If you're not talking about it, you don't owe anyone a goddamn explanation. But I'm just saying that if you're up there benefiting from people thinking, like if you own a gym, right, and you lost a bunch of weight and built a bunch of muscle, let's just say, I'm making this up, I'm not thinking of anyone in specifics, but and then you tell people like, oh yeah, just like drink this apple juice and blend bananas with, wheat germ 3 times a day and you're gonna look like me. And really you took, steroids or you took even peptides, or you took real peptides, or you took Ozempic to look like that, and you're lying and you're manipulating people to trust you when you're a liar. And that's where I have a problem with it. So I know Ozempic can be very helpful. It can save lives. It can help people completely transform themselves. And when they do it with nervous system regulation, then you can literally change your life. And I respect that so much. And I know it can be hard. And I respect you for doing hard things. And this is more me like saying, like, if you're going to promote body dysmorphia, if you're going to promote a skinny obsession, if you're going to promote body shaming, if you're going to promote eating disorder like behaviors under the guise and, oh, you did Ozempic, but oh, look at me, I'm so amazing and so great. Like, you're a liar, you're a cheat, you're a fake, and you're not trustworthy. You're not being honorable. You're not being honest. And that's where I have a problem. I don't give a fuck if you did Ozempic. I don't care if you do Wegovy. Knock yourself out. But this obsession with losing the last 5 pounds for the rest of your life and then telling people that, oh, you just cut out, alcohol or whatever, like you're a liar. And if you lie about that, what else are you lying about? And you're just not someone that I would want to associate with. You're not someone I would want to hang out with. I'd rather you be a little more chubby and be an honest, good person than someone who has a six pack, but you lie to people, but you take advantage of people, but you manipulate people. That's all I'm saying. Do it, don't do it. Now you know what it is. Now you know what the side effects are. And now you know what peptides being used from a naturopathic form really are. And how I just don't think that they fall into the same category, although the medical world would say that they are. I think it's lying to say that you did peptides, but really you did Wegovy because you're obsessed with what your body looks like. It's just a totally different world. And it's also very different to take Ozempic if you are trying to lose weight because you're morbidly obese and you're trying to change your life. And it's very different than taking it because you have 8 pounds to lose and you have body dysmorphia and you can't ever stop because your entire personality is wrapped around what you look like. That's just sad. One is honorable and brave to try to change your life, and the other one is just sad, and I feel bad for you. Truly. So that's my little speech on that. Now, I did want to just roll right back to my little issue with the naturopathic world for just half a second. I do think that a lot of naturopathic doctors are helping so much. And I think that, running full thyroid panels and helping people discover what's up with their gut and really not prescribing medications, too much, and like listening to people and understanding what their symptoms are, I think is amazing. And it's a world that I'll never leave because it's what I need. I will never return to Western medicine for my thyroid ever or for my children, anything, right? But I do think, and I'm going to do a full podcast episode about this, and I've been doing a lot of videos about this on my TikTok. But I think that the naturopathic world is also a sellout, to the sense of not so much big pharma, but to the world of what can they prescribe you. And giving people Ozempic in a compounded form can be sellout behavior if you're not properly managing people, you know. They're also a sellout to selling so many supplements and being obsessed with, like, what else can I do? And just charging people enormous amounts of money, an arm and a leg, to get better. And that is taking advantage of people as well. So I'm going to do a full episode on that. I have seen so many doctors have so many experiences, my own personal experiences of what it's like to work with them and how much money it costs. And I've really been leaning into just taking the information I have and doing with it what I know, and not being so obsessed with running more tests and knowing things and taking things and all that. Like, I've just been like, really, like, I take my thyroid meds in the morning. I take magnesium at night. I've been using something called wild yam cream, which is really cool. I did a video about that on my TikToks. Maybe I'll make an episode about that as well. But just like, really just like natural stuff. Like, that's it. Like, I used to take 28 supplements a day because my doctor was like, here, buy this and take that and use this olive oil and sprinkle this, you know, vitamins on this one, and then take this at night, and oh, don't take this with that, so you have to eat 2 hours. And there was like this constant managing of never-ending supplements, and which I think is just as much taking advantage of people as giving them psych meds when maybe they don't need it, you know. So I think that not only should you go to the naturopathic functional medicine world, but you also have to be very discerning on who you're going to work with. Because there was a doctor, this doctor in the city, who was giving me the Ipamorelin to help with my thyroid. I ended up firing him because he's so irresponsible with his patients. He does not manage them well. He will charge you an arm and a leg for stuff and forget. Every single time I saw him, he forgot who I was. What's your name? And look, and like, it was absurd. The way he cared for his patients by not caring for them was absurd. And I ended up sending him a long text about how irresponsible he is and how it's medical malpractice. And oh my God, that's a story for another day though. So I definitely have my gripes with the naturopathic functional medicine world as well. If you find someone who's just a sellout to big money, right? Maybe it's not big pharma, but it's big money, and they're taking advantage of sick people just as much as the Western medicine world is. So you have to be very discerning on who you're going to work with. Not only going to the right type of doctor, but the right person in general. So that's my little speech for today. Hopefully this information was helpful to you. Again, this is not a don't do Ozempic. It's do whatever you want, but just don't lie to people. Be honest and understand that this constant running after having the perfect body, you are exhausting to watch. And so I just imagine it's even more exhausting to exist as you. Are you really happy, or are you just skinny? Something to ponder. Thank you for listening. I hope that you loved today's episode. Please do the following things. Share this all over your social media. Subscribe to my podcast and leave me a 5-star rating. Till next time.